Pat Kerrigan here, and I'm joined by Kathy Holden. We're talking about organ donation because it is National Organ Donor Day on this Valentine's Day. And Kathy donated her organ sight unseen. She doesn't know who got it, but she was willing to do it anyway. And apparently your daughter, Jamie, was inspired to do the same thing.
That's right.
Yeah, so she donated her organ, her kidney?
She did.
To a 10-year-old girl.
No, actually, it was actually went to a gentleman.
Oh, it did. Well, we don't care.
He had a 10-year-old daughter.
And oh, I think, a 10-year. Okay, yeah, I see.
She didn't know that at the time. But,
yeah.
She knew a year or so ago when I was starting this process that she wanted to do the same. She's always been a donor of plasma ever since she, you know, could.
Yeah.
And she saw this as just an extension of that. It's just kind of who she is.
Yeah.
And she did find out that before the surgery that it would go to a young man, maybe late 20s, early 30s. And more recently, and she donated right before Christmas, just this last Christmas.
Wow. Merry Christmas to him.
And again, my husband was coming off the Southern California fires just in time to spend the night with her at the hospital.
Wow.
So I don't know what the fire relationship to our kidney donations are, but
strange.
She did get a letter from him recently. So she does know his name, and it was a wonderful, actually it was a Christmas card. Which was appropriate because he received basically his kidney for Christmas, and she received a letter from his 10-year-old daughter.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. Speaking of family affairs, one of the newest members of the KSRO family is Stacy James. He is here first thing in the morning, being our editor for the KSRO Morning News. He is my producer from 9 to 10 o'clock, and Stacy James is on the microphone now because talk about family affairs and talk about an organ donation story. You've got your very, very own, and he has been an organ recipient three times over, and glad to have you on the air with us talking about this today, Stacy.
Well, thank you very much for providing the time for myself and Kathy. And Kathy, you and your daughter are just incredible people. Every time I hear these altruistic donor stories, I don't know if you can tell, I get really kind of worked up.
As a guy who, you know, suffered, you know, ill health for a long, long time, you were, yes?
Yeah, it started right around when I was 10 years old. I just started vomiting, and that was my body's way of beginning to tell that it was trying to get all the toxins out because my kidneys were starting to fail. I ended up, my mom and myself, because my dad was working full-time, we're making so many trips between Stockton and UCSF over and over again because I was referred by my local doctor, and my mom turned out to be the one that tested just like Kathy did for her donation. Healthy, everything was great. We were a perfect match, blood type and everything.
So mom and son. Mom says, yes, I'll give you my kidney.
Yeah, and at that time it was the early 80s, and it wasn't as well known at that time.
Yeah.
You know, the procedures they have now are so much more amazing than then. And she did. She gave me a kidney in May of 1983.
And that lasted a long time, reasonably speaking.
It did. 12 years. That actually gave me a chance to kick off and finish high school and get my college until I got sick again because it failed after 12 years.
And is that common for an organ like a kidney to fail?
Well, there's so many variables.
Yeah.
Because they put you on these immunosuppressive to lower your immune system.
Right.
So it doesn't attack
accept the organ.
Exactly. Not to attack the quote-unquote foreign body. And whatever circumstances there were, I take my pills religiously to make sure it continues. And it just so happened it failed at that time.
So then what do you do?
Well, I went on dialysis for about 6 months, but even before that happened, my wonderful sister, Amy, she's 3 years younger. I didn't even have to ask. And she
offered to donate her kidney.
She certainly did.
Wow. So your mom and now your sister is offering to donate her kidney, your second kidney transplant. And that worked out too.
It did. And there's one image from right before the surgery I'm never going to forget. We're both on the gurneys side by side.
Yeah. Like you see in the movies.
Exactly. But they started to give me the pain medication, so I was feeling pretty good at the time. And I look over, and my sister she's bawling her eyes out.
Yeah.
Because she's so scared. And obviously, I was no help at that time.
Yeah.
Because we're all ready to go into surgery. And that lasted 8 years.
That kidney.
Yeah, and both my mom and my sister have applied guilt to the fact, and there's no reason for it whatsoever.
That their kidneys didn't last long enough?
Exactly.
Wow.
And I try to tell them, look, it wasn't you. I'm the one carrying it. I'm the one managing it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with you, but that's the kind of people that they are.
Yeah, well, obviously, speaking of altruism, here's a situation where your mom and then your sister, step up and say, absolutely, what's the question here? And go ahead and do that. And then how long after your sister donated your second kidney to you, did that kidney fail?
It was 8 years, and it was 2004, and the whole social media thing with going on and sharing your story, it wasn't as big as it is now. So I went on dialysis, and I endured that for a little bit over 9 years because I went on the transplant list.
Wow. So you went on the list, and you were waiting.
Yeah, that was the first time I'd ever had to be on the list.
Yeah.
And I wasn't up to, I have a few close friends. Our family doesn't really connect as much with the outside family part. And I didn't feel comfortable asking anyone. So I stayed on dialysis.
That's tough. That's a long time, Stacy. Wow, that's a lot to endure.
Yeah, it's not pleasant. And in my case, I felt like as the years went on, it was slowly stealing who I was and kind of just taking my soul away.
Absolutely. Anybody with chronic illness of any kind will relate, I think, to that feeling. And so somehow you must have urged and forced yourself to endure that, waiting for word of another kidney becoming available to you, and finally you do get that word.
Yeah, it was four calls in, because sometimes what they'll do, they'll call you as a second or third alternate if the first person who's called can't be available, whatever circumstances.
Ooh,
there
that's
are.
A lot of maybes right there.
It was, and I turned down a high-risk kidney call. They do. You can sign up. I didn't sign up, so I don't know why they called me. That kidneys that maybe are from people who weren't 100% healthy. And I waited the fourth call. Just everything seemed right. And
this is in 2004?
No, I'm sorry. 2004 is when I started dialysis.
Okay, I see.
This is June of 2013.
Okay, finally so get the this call. Is not very long ago.
Almost 5 years.
Okay.
And got the call at 9:30 in the morning, was at UCSF in record speed in about 75 minutes. 2 o'clock that afternoon, went under the knife and had the surgery.
Now, thank God for that, first of all. And I'm so happy that you both are here sharing your stories, very personal stories about this. And so you get this third kidney now in 2013. And were there complications with that? Or was the match so good that your recovery from that third surgery went smoothly?
I have no idea how lucky I am. The previous two, I never had any issues until they actually failed. And so far, I haven't had any rejection episodes. I really haven't had any, because a lot of times when your immune system is lowered, you have other health issues that come about.
I would imagine, yeah.
Yeah. I'm one of the luckiest kids in the world, really, honestly.
Well, and you're healthy now. Are you healthy now?
I am. I am absolutely healthy, and I just had a blood test. I've named my kidney Philbert the kidney. He's very healthy.
Philbert,
and very
okay.
Happy. Yeah.
Good to know. Moving forward. So a nickname is born.
Yes.
Well, it's an amazing story, and Kathy, it must be something for you to hear, stories like Stacy's when you have donated your organ to anybody who needs it. You don't know who yet got it inevitably, but to hear about the need from the other end must be pretty striking for you too.
Yeah, and to know Stacy, I would have never guessed that he had been through so much. I mean, that's just to show the miracle of medicine and what can happen when you have healthy organs. And I know that just yesterday I met with some people at the National Kidney Foundation down in San Francisco, and one of the things I learned was it's likely more common than not that someone with kidney disease a transplant recipient will have more than one in their lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
Transplants. So that's not so uncommon. And it is interesting for Stacy to have had two living organ donations.
From his family, yeah.
And one deceased donor, right?
Yeah, I think that part is really unique because I do hear more and more people having two or three kidney transplants, but more often than not, it's from the list.
Yeah, I would think, I mean, those of us sort of on the outside looking into this whole process, you know, consider it, oh, you know, with organs, not so much heart, we think, oh, somebody must have just died. But we don't think about that in terms of kidney transplants. We think of living donors.
And I understand being a living donor is not for everyone. I totally understand that. But I think being a deceased donor is so important, and Stacy's living proof of that.
Yeah, no question about it. And let's talk about, because we've got a minute or so left, and or 2 minutes, and I want to get to this part. How easy is it to become an organ donor? Let's get that process out there right now.
First, I think you have to really consider your risk tolerance, you know, what you're willing to, when you look at all that, they're going to give you a lot of data, and you have to decide, is that for me? Am I willing to take these risks?
Yeah.
I had had a cesarean section with my son, and so I knew what going in, what a surgery would look like, what I could remember of it. But as far as, you know, for example, going through UCSF, which is all I know, they take you by the hand and you know,
they can guide you.
They
through
guide
the whole
you through
process.
Everything. They have counselors. They have, you know, nurses. As far as costs involved, I think the only thing we ever paid out was parking fees. You know, in the parking garage across the street. Do this test.
It's an amazing story, and I hate to cut that part of the story short, but I want to make sure that we get in that, you know, how to become an organ donor is so easily accessible, and it's hard to imagine many of us that should be exempt from that process. And after listening to Kathy's story and to Stacy's story, and thank you for sharing that very personal story with us, Stacy.
I can't thank you enough, Pat, for having both myself and Kathy on what it was really a special day for organ donation.
Well, you know what? Get a pink dot for Valentine's Day. You know, get that pink dot alongside your driver's license and become an organ donor today, whether it's a living donor, whether it's person-to-person donation, or whether it's altruistic, as it is in Kathy's situation, or whether you know somebody, or you just know Stacy now, who is on the recipient end of organ donation. Be sure to do that today. What a great Valentine's gift to give some other person.